The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Hello, everyone. I hope you guys are having a great conference. Day two. I'm going to admit to you, I've had too much coffee. So I'm like, I feel like jittery, but hopefully I'm not shaking all over the place. So yeah, my name is Heather Wickstrom. Like they said, I have five kids. My oldest is 17, Anissa, and my youngest is 8. So you don't want to do the math. That's grade 11 all the way down to grade 3. So I feel like the timing for this was so perfect for me when they asked me, you know, do I want to talk on the early years? Because like we're just kind of leaving that phase. So I got a chance to just sit down and really reflect, like, what did we do well? What did we do badly? I always tell my kids, learn from other people's mistakes. I mean, don't get me wrong, learn from your own for sure. But isn't it better to learn from other people's and you don't have to make the mistakes? So I'm going to share all my mistakes with you guys today. I was just talking to the person who introduced me earlier, and I was just like, I was so clueless when I started homeschooling. So I probably made all the mistakes. So hopefully you guys will have lots of content today. I also surveyed a bunch of moms who are kind of in this phase and asked them, okay, if you were going to a class like this, what would you want to hear? What would you want to know about? So hopefully I cover it all. But if I don't, make a note in your phone or something, and please feel free to ask questions. I'll have questions at the end, or come talk to me if that's what you prefer. But either way, let's answer all the questions today. I hope everyone doesn't leave feeling overwhelmed. Sometimes conference does that. My first conference, I went home and cried. So I don't want that to be the case here. A part of this class is I just want to relieve the pressure and some of that sense of overwhelm. And yeah, hopefully you can start this journey well. It can be daunting. Take it year by year. So before I jump into all the tips and tricks, I just wanted to start with a little bit of encouragement. And it sounds so simple, but I just needed to say it, like, you can do this. I know it is daunting. And it is really big to take on our kids' education, but you can absolutely do this. So I've been homeschooling for many years now. And whenever I tell people I homeschool, they tell me why they don't homeschool. And one of the top reasons that I always hear is I can't teach my kids. They don't listen to me. I have to send them somewhere else to teach my kids. Well, that's a lie from the enemy. I'm telling you, of course you could teach your kids. Are they going to give you a harder time because they're in a safe, comfortable place? Yeah, they might. Okay, I'm not going to lie. But of course you can teach them. God gave you the perfect kids for you. And he gave your kids the perfect parents, right? You have taught them to walk and talk and use their manners. And I'm sure you're all teaching them about your faith. Of course, you could teach them math and English too. So don't believe that lie. It is biblical. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk with them when they sit in your house and when they walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Deuteronomy 6:7. Train up a child in the way you should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Homeschooling is biblical. You were made to teach your kids. You can absolutely do this. And the second thing I always hear is, I'm not good at school. You know, I suck at math or I suck at English. And so now we're going more into the academics. Well, as you know, if you've been like listening to Israel Wayne, of course, that's absolutely not true. And there's actually studies that show, let's see if this works now. Technology, guys. Oh, you know what? I'm in the wrong place. Yay. Okay. There are many studies. I just put up one here that actually shows a parent's academics doesn't reflect the success of their child. So I think Israel Wayne, I'm like, oh, he's just pooping my point all the time. What didn't he say his mom dropped or she was didn't finish grade 9 or something like that? She quit or she wasn't in school until after grade 8 or something like that. I can't remember. But so if you're not great at something, and there's lots of things I'm not great at, I'm a hairstylist by trade. Okay. Math, so many things. Anyway, it will not affect your children. And I'm going to guess that's because the masters of these topics are writing the curriculum. And between the curriculum and the teacher book, you know, for the older ages, and the one-on-one teaching, you're going to be able to teach your kid anything. And then they'll eventually go beyond you. My daughter is doing calculus. I can no longer help her. I'm sure I could have sat down and figured it out. But you know what? I taught her how to learn, right? So now she can teach herself. So you can absolutely do this, whether or not you have the academics, whether or not you've been schooled for that, or whether or not you think that they listen to you. Now, let's say they're maybe behind in something. Oh, I can't do this. My kid can't read yet or whatever. And I'm going to say, unless there's a special need or some sort of learning disability, they all even up to begin or eventually, right? And you'll hear some people say, oh, my kid didn't read until grade 3, but they read now, right? So a lot of things, they'll just even out eventually. So I had 3 daughters in a row, and then I had 2 boys. And surprise, surprise, my daughters were really good at everything language. They could talk and talk and talk and talk. And then my son came along and he hardly talked at all. And when he was a toddler, he knew 2 words, and they were hockey and hulky, like green guy, Hulk. And he still talked a lot, but it'd be hockey, hulky, hockey, hockey. And no one knew what he was saying. Well, he's 11 now. He speaks fine. All is well, right? They all eventually even out. And you get to see these light bulb moments. So there's also studies that show the cramming doesn't actually work, right? Little bits every single day, little bits every single day. So if you're not seeing that advancement, it's not because of you. It's not because of something you're doing. They might be wired a little differently, right? So just a little bit every single day. I didn't make a slide for those studies, but if you look it up, tons show up, that you're going to get those light bulb moments, and they're so satisfying. So I just needed to start with a little bit of encouragement. Yes, you guys can do this, and you are made to do it. So anyway, let's jump into it. So how to start? Let's see if, yes, okay. How to start? So I'm going to start with saying, what is your why? So if you guys are still doing the early years, this is probably really fresh on your heart. And I'm going to say, so right now, when it's fresh on your heart, take the time to write it out. And you might be wondering why, and I'm going to tell you a couple of reasons. So number one, the hard days. It's good to have that why on the hard days. Go back. Why am I doing this again? Oh yeah, okay. Also to keep goals. So we did some info classes in September, and I was preaching this, you know, what's your why? What's your why? And, I went back to my why. And, you know, one of the reasons I homeschool is my faith and doing that discipleship every single day. And I didn't want to do a curriculum, you know, all the, digging into the maps and all that stuff. It was more about a personal relationship with Jesus. And we were doing like family devos. Well, those had fallen off the track because my kids are older now and they're here, there, and everywhere. And it just got off the track. So I went back to my why, and oh, this is a huge goal. I need to get back on track. So for the hard days, for keeping the goals, but also when questioned. So this is not mainstream, guys. So you will be questioned, and it's really nice to have an answer. So I'm going to suggest to you, this is one of my first mistakes. Start slow. If you are going to be starting homeschooling, start slow. So we did not have a plan to homeschool. It was a real scramble. And so I just want you to picture my daughter, Anissa, is 5. And she's been living her life, her free life, just playing and having a great time. And then one day I was like, come to the table. We're going to do school. And I was really enthusiastic and excited, and I had bought all the things, and I had planned a full pack day for her. And guess what? She wasn't into it. And I don't want you to make the same mistake. So you've probably been mentally preparing your kids or whatever, but start so slow. So however that looks, you don't need to do all the subjects. You don't need to do a full lesson of every subject. to start off with. Even public schools and private schools, you know, they'll do try it this day and then you go home, right? So it's kind of intermittent. So just start with little bites because you really want them to love this. You want it to be fun and excited. And when I first invited her to the table, she was like, oh, something new, right? And she was into it. But it got tired really quick. So start slow. You don't need to do it all day one or week one, right? Like you can just ease your way into it and ease them into it too. So reading, writing, math, these are our main things, right? I'm sure you've heard that before. These are kind of the core subjects you're working on. And that's what you're going to kind of focus on. And then there isn't a lot of curriculum needed to do those things, if any. I know some people that don't even buy a curriculum, especially to begin with. So again, this is where I'm saying I want to take off the pressure. You don't need to go out there and buy every single thing there. Whether or not you need all the things, it's not really necessary. And then daily life for science and social studies, there's so much you can do just in your daily life for those beginning years. Just be intentional. You just have to be intentional about it. You're probably already doing all the things. So here's just a few examples for science. So when you're exploring, if you're intentional, oh my goodness, there's so many things that you can do, right? Oh, what kind of tree is this? Oh, look how the leaves are changing color. Did you notice these cloud shapes? Oh, look at animals, habitats, right? You can go on and on about that. Baking is science. You know, chemical reactions, snow, water. This was such a hit in my house. We would just bring in a big bucket of snow. And if you're intentional, you know, you pack it together. That's a solid. Oh, it melts. That's a liquid. You know, evaporate. You could talk about all those different things. Mixing colors, Play-Doh models, millions of ways to use that. Gardening plants, springtime is coming. There's so much that can be talked about there. Experiments are so fun and you can find lots of simple ones. You all have the blessing of Pinterest. Please use it. Animals, body parts, books, videos, this can be used without buying any curriculum. And it is very full. And then examples for social studies here. So your community, you talk about your community and how you all work together. Your personal information, your kids just start learning that anyway, right? Maps, even just walking to the park, map out your house, that sort of thing. Your family culture, that's so easy with the food and geography. When you travel, singing O Canada, coloring pages, your family tree, talk to them about how that all works. Again, videos and books, you're going to see that a lot, and crafts. So these are all ways you can just bring it into the daily. You don't need to buy all the different things. So I thought I would tell you what I did. So I am an indecisive overthinker. So you might be wondering, why is she telling me what I do? I'm not going to copy her. Well, I'm just giving you an idea. Sometimes it's nice to have somewhere to start. Okay. So this is an example. There's zero pressure to do what I did. I just thought I would give you a starting point of what I did. So for reading, we did teach your child to read in 100 easy lessons. I don't know if it's the best one, but I taught 5 kids to read that way. So I know it can work. Okay. But again, don't be a slave to your curriculum. So I found the beginning of this book was perfect little bite size, but by the end of the book, they would have a whole page of reading and they wanted you to do it twice. Haha. That's not going to happen. So I just started to do that. I would break those lessons into 2 separate days. So that's what worked for me. For writing, I did not buy a curriculum. I just had them writing every day. And I would make them do 3 rows. You don't have to do that. You could do a scripture. You could have them write out their name, whatever it is. But you're really just practicing the movements, practicing the formation. And I'm going to say sit with them. And this is annoying, I know. But it's so helpful if you sit with them because so many people can't write. And if you sit with them and just say top to bottom, make that round, you are going to thank me because for years down the road, their writing will still be legible. My kid's writing it better than my husband's for sure. And it was just that extra commitment in the beginning. And then for math, I did math UC primer. Again, this is not like a sell or anything like that. It's what I tried. It worked for my kids. It had blocks. I'm not a math person. It came with a video. So this is what worked for me. So maybe this will help you out. But if not, There's lots of great math out there. Sometimes it's making a decision between two good things, right? You really can't go wrong with your first math. So that's what we did. And then, like I told you, I was all enthusiastic and bought a bunch of stuff. So I did have Canada, My Country for social studies, but it's pretty much your daily life. You're just bringing them on the adventure of your life. Okay, so let's talk schedule. So we are habitual creatures. Routine helps everyone. They know what to expect. It will help your day to day. It's really good to have consistency. I can tell you, my kids, I used to have consistency. My kids went outside every single day. Then I stopped that for a bit, and now it's a battle. So just remember, scheduling helps, but we're going to start with experimenting. So I'm a B type, but I have a lot of A type friends, and they said they don't make New Year's resolutions because it feels like failure. They can't do it. So I really want to stress the word experiment here, because it's not a failure. Something doesn't work out. This is something new for your family, and you need to figure it out. And sometimes you can only really do that by trying a few things, and it might not always look the same. So every family is going to be individual, and that is the amazing thing about homeschooling, and I want to encourage that. But how do I figure out my schedule then? So I'm just going to give you a list of questions to ask yourself. You can screenshot this or whatever, and just kind of help you give you a starting point. So breaks or no breaks? So some people love breaks because maybe the kids got the wiggles. It's great to send them off, get it out, and then come back and do school. So maybe breaks is what you need. For me, I found if I released my kids, they were never coming back. It was a battle to get them back. So for me, I was like, no breaks. But maybe you need breaks. Play first or work first. So when we started homeschooling, I was like, hey, we're waking up, we're brushing our hair, brushing our teeth, making our bed, piano, school, whatever. I was started right into the routine because my thought is, let's get this done and then have the day to ourselves. Or do you want a slow start? Do you want to take the time? Do you want to be in pajamas or read or whatever? Which one works for you? What do your kids want? So I told you we started with the routine. Guess what my kids wanted? They wanted to play first, so we switched now. So that experiment failed. And then my kids were like, we don't want to jump right into it, Mom. We want a slow time. Okay, so we switched to what my kids want. Maybe you want to incorporate your kids in this decision, maybe not. I don't know, but I'm putting it out there. When is your child at their best? I think a lot of people say their kids are at their best first thing in the morning. Maybe they're not, though. Maybe you have a sleeper in her and they're better in the afternoon. So when is your kid at their best? That will help you if they're at their best. When are you at your best? You always need to consider the teacher. So there was a time I was homeschooling and Anissa was, you know, young. And then I had Nerys was also a toddler. And then I had a baby and then I was pregnant, right? And I was just getting interrupted, 4 million times a day. And I was not being the best teacher or probably mother. and I needed to switch it to nap time. And I know no one wants to hear that because that's a sacred, precious time. But it was the only way I could do it without snapping at my poor, innocent, 5-year-old who's just trying to do school, but I'm getting interrupted so many times I can't think straight. So when are you at your best? So sometimes it's not about the kids, but you. But it affects them. So, and then what works with your schedule? Do you need to get your husband out of the house first before you start school? Like I said, do you have a sleeper in or like what is already in your schedule now that affects you that you should maybe consider? But you have to be open to change. If things maybe look different week to week or month to month, I'm not saying it's going to be a whole, like an overhaul, but there might be some tweaks and changes. So try to be flexible if you can. And then just remember that experiment thing. Also, consider your yearly schedule. So I wish someone had brought this up to me, but we do not need to follow the school system. We don't have to be September. till June. I know lots of friends who homeschool all year round, but they do that so they just have to do very little a day, right? I have one friend, she does math for a portion of the year and English for a portion of the year. She doesn't do them both at once. That way that major subject is never happening at the same time, but then she homeschools through the whole year. I like to take 3 months off for summer. So I actually do a bit more so I can just have a time where we do zilch. So what works for you? It's something to consider, that annual, that yearly schedule. And then for your weekly schedule, schedule in the fun. So I'm an extrovert raising extroverts, but I have intentionally talked to introverts because I'm like, well, what works for you? And they all know they need to get out. They all know that it's good for the kids and it's good for them. But what they said really helped was to schedule it in. When it was in the calendar, they did it. If they woke up every morning and thought, should I go out? They were always like, no. So if you're an introvert, schedule it in. It really helps to do the thing and it's already in the calendar. You're already expecting it, right? That mental expectation. So get out. So if you, let's say you live in a cold, freezing province of Manitoba, I just made a big list on ways to get out because this is a lifeline for me, people. So stay-in-plays are so popular. Lots of churches have them. I know like Springs has them, Waverly has them. So they're all over the city and I'm sure outside the city. Playdates, I probably don't have to tell any of you guys that. Kids City or Hide and Seek, a lot of these are from the city because that's where I live. Try it free offers. A lot of places that have classes will have these try it free days. Oh, try gymnastics or try this dance or whatever. Though I jump on those even though I have zero intention on signing my kids up. Go to the McDonald's play area. I'm not saying buy your kids, well, buy them if you want to, but I would just buy a coffee or I'd get my kids a smoothie. You're all sharing the smoothie, but we're out of the house. Go run it off. There's lots of homeschooling classes, bike ride if the weather is good, forks. Community centers often offer their own individual things. Mom groups. I know there's Momco here in the city. I went to Women of Worth at my church. It was my lifeline. Never missed it. They had childcare there. The library was a weekly event for us. And, you know, that's good when you're pulling your science and social studies, books out. I get them each to pick one of those, pick a culture, pick an animal or whatever to help our build our curriculum. The mall play area, family memberships, you know, to the zoo, to the museum, free swim, free stick and puck skate. Those are awesome. I go to free stick and puck every single week. We never miss it. Field trips, you get all the benefits that public schools do. You can do all the field trips and get the group rates. Just got to organize them. Co-ops, parks, volunteering. Some volunteering will let you bring your little kids, and I've done it, and it's great. We volunteered at our church when I had little kids, and then once they were all in school, we volunteer at Manitoba Harvest. As long as they're in school, they can do Manitoba Harvest. Skating, tobogganing, open gym time. So those are just some ideas. Even if you're not in a co-op, you can still get out. So the other thing we need to talk about is when it's not working. So we've all had a kid that has woken up on the wrong side of the bed, or maybe you're right into school and everything was fine until you started math or whatever. I don't know what comes over them sometimes, but there are some tips. Here are some tips and tricks when it's just not working that day. Okay. So change of scenery. This sounds so simple, but it's so true. If you're doing reading in the living room, oh, let's move to mom and dad's big bed, you know, or let's go out on the swing or whatever. Just change the scenery. I don't know why, but it helps reset them sometimes. Change the subject. Oh, they're fighting math hard today. Let's do some reading. Look at this picture book, right? Just change the subject. Take a break. And this is for the moms, for dads, if you're teaching. Maybe you need to just go get a nice special coffee, right? Or take a little moment in your prayer closet, whatever. Sometimes it's not the kid. Sometimes it's you. So take the break. Reset with something physical. So if you have a boy, this one worked really well with my boys. I don't know why it always made them laugh. If they just couldn't like sit or just couldn't focus, I'd be like, give me 10 jumping jacks. What? Just give me 10 jumping jacks. And they couldn't help themselves. Little cranks, they would turn into laughter while they're doing their jumping jacks because it's so random and weird. Or I'd be like, run around the island. I would just try to think of something weird. And they would come back laughing. So there you go. Try that with your boys. Get out. I just gave you a big, long list. You can get out of the house. It really helps reset. And then quit for the day. I need to give you all permission to quit for the day. That's okay. I put it at the end of the list because you can't do it every day, but it should be on the list, right? I think you need to give yourself permission. If all has hit the fan and it's just not happening, everyone's tantruming, whatever, just quit. Okay. I've had to do it. It's okay. Life moved on and you'll thank me for it. Okay, so making choices. So there's so many choices to be made out there, from curriculum to co-ops to all the different things. So I just wanted to maybe make a list to try to help you guys narrow it down to make some decisions for your kids. So first off, and this is no surprise, pray. And I don't mean pray about every single thing in your home. So you don't have to pray about your math curriculum. I mean, you can, but you don't have to pray about every single thing. But just a reminder, you know, we're all Christians. Like, when we pray and we lay our life in front of the Lord, sometimes if you don't know, I'm just going to trust. I'm just going to walk in trust, right? Like, I'm praying, I'm giving my homeschool to the Lord. So hopefully I'm making the right choices. Okay. So sometimes you just walk in trust. You know that you've prayed. He's going to give you guidance, direction, wise counsel. So that's what we're going to start with. And then again, I have some questions that you can ask yourself, and a lot of them look the same. So I'll maybe explain it to you. So what do you value? So that actually is a good one to narrow down that list. A lot of people homeschool widely because of their faith. Well, you just cut out a bunch of curriculums, a bunch of co-ops, a bunch of things, just due to your faith. Or maybe it's like a cultural thing. Maybe you really want your kids to learn French. You speak French. We want that to be important. Well, you've just narrowed it down a lot. A Christian French curriculum or a French co-op. Like, does that exist? I don't know. But that really helps narrow it down. So what do you value? Okay, what is important? So those sound the same. I found some difference there. So in schooling, for academics, I always thought English was the most important. I want my kids to be able to communicate. I want them to be able to write well. And so for me, when I'm making decisions, I'm putting more time and effort and money into English than I do math or sciences or whatever. So it is something to consider. What is important to you, and what do you want? What are you willing to spend the time, money, whatever on, right? So that's something to consider. And then how much time and how much are you willing? So again, you can use those top two, but sometimes that's the consideration. Well, how much time do I have? Math is really important to me, but how much time do I have to give that? I know I was debating math forever. It was between Right Start and Math UC. Well, Right Start is very one-on-one. Ugh, I don't have the time for that. So just consider how much time are you willing to give? What do you enjoy or need? So like I said, I'm an extrovert. So when it came down to it, I wanted to get out and I wanted to see people. And that's what I enjoy. That's what I need. So then I started to change that play date to academic time. That way I could give that time to see people, but I'm not like just totally sloughing off school that day. So what that meant is I had a friend who found science that was really important to her, and she wanted to pick the science for that one. Okay, I need and want people. So I'm going to give this whole decision to you. So what do you need and want? And then slim it down. So like I said, I'm a indecisive overthinker. I read this book called Don't Overthink It. And one advice that she gives is to ask, like, just slim it down. So whatever way you can do, or whatever way you can find to do that. So ask an expert. I just did that for science. I talked to Len in Heritage. Give me a chemistry that's easier than apologia. So sometimes you get someone else to do it, or whatever way you want to do it. And then sometimes it's between two good things and you just got to pick. And what I do is I just ask my husband, and it's pretty much the opposite of whatever he said. So It's between two good things. It's not going to kill you. Okay. So what should I focus on in the early years? I'm telling you, I'm trying to unload the pressure and telling you this isn't a big deal. Well, what is a big deal? What am I caring about? So number one, or habit forming, morning routine, being consistent, and the love of learning. So these are actually the really most important things in the beginning. This is actually, it sounds like, oh, it's hardly academic, Heather, morning routine, but these are actually what's going to set a foundation for your whole homeschool journey. If you can get these things down, just having those habits in place, no one fights me anymore in the morning. They go right to doing their thing. You know, I'm not telling them get your books out or you have to practice piano. They know exactly what is done and they do it. The morning routine is so, like, I'm a big one on the morning routine because it sets your day off right. Right? You can check a couple of things off right out of the get-go. I want to pass that on to my kids, and I think it's a good thing for them to have. Being consistent, that means you're not quitting all the time, but, you know, that's what they're expecting. They're used to this is what happens, this is how our house runs. And then, of course, the love of learning. Well, they're going to get that homeschooling more than anywhere else, right? Because you can really focus on what they love and you can handpick that curriculum for them. So you really want to foster that love of it right from the beginning. And that's why all of those different tactics are so important, because that's so important. You need to get that in their head. Okay, so how to school with littles. Maybe that's why the majority of you are here. I remember I did the Before You Begin and someone was like, how do you do this with little kids? That is not a quick answer. It's strategies, man. There's lots and lots that you're trying to work between. So I'm going to try to give you some of my top ones, some tips and tricks. So hopefully you can somehow do this school thing even with younger kids in tow. So you all know this, but sometimes we need to be reminded, younger kids adapt, they adapt. So my oldest, of course, she had all of her naps and we all worked around her routine. Well, by the time she started school, that was no longer a thing. My younger kids got dragged wherever we were doing, and that morning nap wasn't even a thing. They maybe napped, maybe they didn't, maybe it was in a car seat, maybe it was on me. I don't know, but they can adapt and they had to, and I had to train them. So you got to do it though. That's the only thing. So you can't stay at home and get every morning nap. You got to do it for them to adapt, and they will adapt. And it might be hard to begin with, but just a reminder, they can. Involve younger kids in the learning. So this is actually works really, really well. Obviously they're not going to take it in like the older ones, but they want to be involved in everything their older sibling is doing. So you might as well just go ahead expecting that and involve them in it. There's so many things that you can do that they will, glean from. So experiments, they can be a part of. The crafts, they can be a part of. If you want your kids to do any public speaking, they can be the ones sitting, you know, or crawling around them like my sons would do. If there's any educational videos you're watching, or if there's any read out louds, all those things are a great way to include them without like book work or whatever like that. And don't dumb it down. Call them up, right? Like, why would we dumb it down for the littles? Let's push them, right? So, keep it at the right level, but you'll be amazed at how much they can take away. So table activities that only come out during school. So at the beginning year, school doesn't take very long. So you got to try to keep these activities special, I found. I went on Pinterest and I just typed in Montessori. They have tons of activities there. And those things only came out during school time. And that would keep them occupied. And that high chair, strap them in. Don't forget that. So that really helped. I also used it for quiet time sometimes when the quiet time wasn't happening. Give them those special activities that only come out at that time. Play school and office. Why is it when you're playing it, it's really fun? I don't understand this, but my kids would finish school while complaining and then run off to play school. But this was actually really helpful with my littles. I would just give them some, you know, pens and paper. I had calculators that would print, one of those old ones. And then I would give them like old novels and I'd say, you can write in that. And that was a big hit. So sometimes just make them feel involved, even though they're not, and just play it. Play office for school. Blend grades for subjects when you can. So when Anissa started homeschooling, her sister Nerys was right behind her, right? They're less than 2 years apart. So when I was doing kindergarten science and social studies with Anissa, I was also doing it with Nerys. And I did that in grade one and grade two and everything. And we've always done that. So now when Nerys gets to grade 12, she'll be done science and social studies because she started it when it made zero difference. And now she's always a year ahead. And it just helped to occupy her. And, you know, I'm two birds with one stone is really helpful. So blend grades when you can. And science and social studies is a really easy one to do that for. But I've also done it with other subjects. So look at your curriculum, see when it can help. There's also curriculums that are geared towards that, gather around, will gear towards that. So that is a really good option. Get help. I don't know. I thought that one sounded funny. Anyway, because now we all just need help. But is there someone you can source? Do you have in-laws or are your parents retired? Or do you have an auntie or do you have a nice neighbor or something that or someone that can take your kids for a morning? Even just once a week, you'll find that helps. You're like, okay, then you plan those really one-on-one or those intensive things for that day when they're out. Or maybe you can swap with friends. I used to do this a bit. I would take all the kids one day and give her a break, but you can also do this for school. And she would take them all another time just to have a break. But I also did it for school when it came to dissections. Now this is older, but when it came to dissections, that's not my cup of tea. So she took all my older kids to do that. And I took all the younger kids. So can you work with them? Also use siblings. If I was trying to work with my second or my third, I'd maybe get my oldest kid, go play, go take the kids in the basement or whatever. And they love that. They're like, oh, I'm in charge right now and this is my job. So you can use the siblings as two or your husband. Is there some way that you can maybe get some help that you can split the attention and you can get some serious work done during that time? And then audiobooks. I love audiobooks and there's so many good ones. And I put on here just for the car rides. I don't know if any of you have a hard time in the car, but I did. My kids were always fighting or complaining or wanting something of me. And audiobooks just made the car ride so quiet. And my kids were exposed to so many great classics and wonderful stories. And I fell in love with so many stories. So I just made a list of some of our favorites. I don't know if this super fits in here, but aren't books great? So these are some of our favorites that we all loved. I love them too. That you can find them all on, like, I don't know how many people are actually here from Winnipeg, but they're all on the Libby app. So it's audio and you can run it through or you can get it from your library. I didn't buy any of these, but this was a great way to do school in the car. And you can really focus it on your subject too. Story of the World has all of their stuff on CDs. I want to say Mystery and History too, but you can make that time in the car. It's just like free school. They're all buckled in anyway, right? And put that in, get some literature, get some classics, get some social studies, science in there. It's a great way to go. I didn't include on there, but maybe you guys have heard of them. Paws and Tails, Adventures in Odyssey, Jonathan Park. If any of you have teens in the teen track, that's who made Jonathan Park. Those are all awesome Christian, series. So it's not like a novel, but it's almost like little episodes. And Paws and Tails are for the younger, Adventures in Odyssey, a bit older. And then Jonathan Parks is all apologetics. My kids learned so much science from Jonathan Parks. Just played it in the car and finished that that part of school for the day. Okay, so tips and tricks. So these are a bit random, didn't really follow in a category, but I wanted to share them. So organization, I highly suggest that your school be in a main space. So when I started homeschooling, I made myself a nice little homeschooling room in the basement, and it was very beautiful, and I hated it. I don't want to be in my basement. Do you guys? maybe. But I didn't like it. And then too, if you ever get a hot moment, you can't do anything. I'm not near my dishes. I'm not near, you know, meal prep or anything that needs to be clean that I care about. So I suggest, but maybe you love your own zone, but I suggest if you're uber productive like me, maybe do it in your main space because they're distracted for a second. I'm just going to take the chicken out. Like, you know, you can't do that at all when it's totally, totally separate. Find a space per kid. If you find, I put drop zone in there, and that's why I say per kid, because it ends up being a drop zone. Even if you make your space really organized, your kids aren't going to keep it that way. And if you want them to be a part of getting their books and putting their books away, and you do, you need a space per kid, and then they just drop it there. But then they can at least find it the next day. Keep it nearby and simple. So this is where we do school. That's my dining room table. It's my living room. That's where all the schoolwork is. It ain't neat and ain't pretty, but it's nearby and it's simple. And then keep a bin or file for keepsakes or best works. Best work is really later on in your journey. But this is another way I failed. I did not do that way into my homeschooling journey. I tried to sort through 5 kids worth of stuff, and what a nightmare. So do that now, and you'll be so happy you did it. It'll be done and I'll separate it for you. It'll be lovely. Okay, tips and tricks. So household. So this is kind of just keeping your house under control. I like to think I'm a flexible person, but my house overwhelmed me. Your kids are home with you all day long, every day, and they make a mess, and you never, ever, ever get a break from it, and mess compiles onto mess. So these are my little household tips. Get your kids to do chores. I'm sure you've all heard it, but man, you will be so grateful you did. Go on Pinterest. There's a chore for every age group, and it will change your life. For a long time, I did not do chores because it was annoying to teach them how to do something properly, like cleaning a bathroom. Who wants to carve that out? But my house is bearable now. I was not on top of the laundry or the bathroom or anything. So, this is worth it. And I'm going to say less and better is more effective than finished and perfect. And remember that Don't Overthink It book? This is where I got it from. So they're not going to do a great job, but it's better. It's a less of a mess, right? You're never going to get perfect. And if you want perfect, you're going to have to do everything all by yourself all the time. So less is better. Embrace it. My boys are the ones who wipe my table. Let me tell you, there's tons of times they're sticky. Why can't they get the stick? I don't know, but it's better. It's better. I'll take it. The sweeping is not done well in my house, but it's better. And when I can get to it, I will get to it. But that's not going to be every day. Pinpoint the problem. So sometimes I felt like my house was a mess, and then someone said, "What's so messy about it?" And then I ended up talking about a few things, and they're like, "What if you just kept those things clean?" Well, I really felt like my house was much more under order if my table and my coffee table and beside my sink were free and free of clutter and stuff. So sometimes you need to just like, okay, what is the problem here? Pinpoint it. And then oh my goodness, did that job just get way easier? Oh, I just got to clear the table and my brain works better. So try to pinpoint the problem. What is actually the problem? And then we did a 5 o'clock cleanup. Obviously, you don't have to do it at 5. You can do it before nap time. You can do it before dinner. You can do it anytime before bed. But all hands on deck. I've heard different ways of doing it. Some people just set a timer. We're all hands on deck for 5 minutes. That's it. Once the timer's off, right? It's better. It's not perfect, but it's better. Or we're doing this thing until it's clean. So let's all work hard and actually work, boys. So whatever you need to do, but that really helped when we started to do that. It made such a difference. So I would definitely suggest that. And then we're going to talk about routine. So you're just trying to create that routine. You're trying to create that morning, those morning habits. And we do that we started that in a couple different ways. So charts help create it, and the weekly calendar are things that made big differences for us. So that's my weekly calendar. My kids really appreciate, they literally told me, "Mom, I just love knowing what's coming." Like I said, habitual creatures. So a whole week really, really helps. You can color coordinate it. That looks like it's color coordinated. It's not. It's just whatever marker I grabbed. If you have younger kids, you can use symbols, or if you just use one word, they will learn that word. It's crazy. Co-op. They'll know that's co-op, right? So just keep it maybe simpler for the younger kids. My kids are older and they all read, so that's why I do it that way. This is what I did when my kids were little. I like to be a bit crafty. So I used these magnet charts, and they would just flip it as they finished it, and to close them up, I got dressed, flip, I brushed my teeth, flip, or whatever. But if you're not crafty, you can print a bunch of these on Pinterest and just have the dry erase marker, and they can cross it off or however you want to do it. But actually putting some of these things into place really helped them get their routine. And for whatever reason, right when you start it, right at the beginning, they're super excited about it. Oh, they wanted to flip everything right away. So, it was really helpful to just start the routine, because for a week, this was really fun. So they were excited to do it the next morning. So sometimes that's all you need to get a routine going, and then it helps your life. Okay. So last words coming to an end here. So just give up the perfect and do life as is. So, my husband, is in construction, and he was always getting home later. And I always had this dream of us having these beautiful family dinners, right? And I just imagine us all around the table having this beautiful discussion at the end of the day. And you know what? He was just not getting home in time to do that. But I was so like dug my heels, and I wanted this so bad. So I would just make everybody wait. And the kids would get cranky, and then guess what? I got cranky, and then my husband came home, and I was cranky. And our dinner didn't look perfect, even though I made everyone wait for it. I had the pressure, right? Or for family devos, I remember having a friend come up to me, "How do you do family devos? I try to do it, and my kids are fighting, and they're rolling on the ground, and no one's listening. How do you do it?" I said, just like that. It looks exactly like that. So just give up the perfect. That's not life right now, right? It's going to be a little messy, but it's important. You're doing it anyway, and you're doing it together. And sometimes they're going to take something away, right? They got to, right? Tell me if they're taking something away. But either way, you're growing habits. You're living life as is. And then lastly, take time for you. Don't forget about you. And it's so important. And I want to put a plug in for the conference, because I would swear I'd be getting depleted. And it was always conference that filled me up again. I would come home with all these great, fresh ideas. I'd be changing everything up in March of all time, and or just being re-encouraged. Oh, yeah, this is why I'm doing that. It's so good for my kids. But if the conference is not something you can come to every day, maybe you plan an intentional spa day to plan your school. Link it to school. Okay, I'm planning school this year at Thermea. Or whatever you need to do, right? Fit it in. I know one mom. She's an introvert. This would not work for me. But with her husband, they agreed. She gets 2 trips a year, just a weekend. And she wants to be alone. And she just locks herself in her hotel room. And she's just alone and ordering in food and whatever. And that's how she is revived. That's how, like, we don't want to burn out, right? And there is a lot with homeschooling, your kids' education. You're already mothering, but now you've taken on all their education, right? So you can burn out. So you need to have people around you. Community is really important, but also take care of yourself. And what does that look like for you? If you can't make it to conference, can't do the classes, well, how else are you going to keep yourself going? So you don't burn out, so you can be the best mom and the best teacher that you can for your kids. Okay. So I wanted to leave time for questions. Do we have time? Yes. Okay. We have like 5 minutes for questions. Does anyone have any questions? Yes. I use the Libby app. Yeah, so that's connected with the Winnipeg Public Library. So that worked for me. But you could use Audible or... I actually don't know a wide range of ones. That's the one I used. It worked great. But you can also just go down to your library. I also would get discs sometimes. I don't even know if all my van's old, so it could still do discs. But so you can also just take them out of the library. And they have Adventures and Odyssey on disc too at the library. Any other questions? Nope. Okay. Thanks so much for joining me, guys. It was so nice to chat. Thank you. So I'm going to hang out for a bit. So if anyone wants to come up and ask their question privately, totally, or if there's any resource or anything you need to know, I'll be here. Thank you.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.